All right, well, you know, it's amazing how the Lord gives us exactly what we need when we need it, amen? And I say that in my own life because recently a lot of the sermons that I've been preaching are notes that I've been taking in my Bible of going through my devotions, and then the Lord just gives me a sermon out of that to deal with, and it's all right here. So I hope I can read my handwriting well enough to explain that to you. But, you know, I'm going to call this message Ambassadors and Adversaries for Antichrist. And I want to show you from the Scriptures that if you're going to do something for God, you're going to have some adversaries. You're going to have some enemies. You're going to have some ambassadors of Satan that are going to come, and they're going to fight you and the cause that you stand for. You and I are never going to leave this life without having challenges, be it for the Lord. If we'll stand up, the Bible says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, we may not be losing our heads right now, but I suppose if some of these people could take our heads, they probably would. But they can't, so they don't. But let me say this to you, that you are not going to be without opposition. If you are going to do something for God, be ready for Satan to oppose you right away. Because that's how he works. He is always looking to oppose the work of God. Remember what and I say this about Antichrist because I want you to listen very closely. I say this for this reason. With Antichrist, what does the Bible say about the Antichrist? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So he opposes and he exalts himself above God. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That is the actual spirit. Is that too loud over there, or is it? Is it fine? Okay, I didn't know if it was too loud. He opposeth and exalteth himself. So that's what that spirit of Antichrist is. It is in opposition to the work of God. It will always be in opposition to the work of God. Now, we know the Antichrist is not on the scene today, but the Bible says there are many false Antichrists. There are many Antichrists out in the world today, many false prophets out in the world today, many of those that seek to hinder the work of God. Now, so Ezra chapter 4. Let's pray first. Father, Lord, we pray you be with us now. Help us, dear God, to understand this great truth tonight. Lord, we need it so badly to prepare our hearts and just the challenges that we face on a day-to-day basis to serve you and live for you. Help us to understand that it's not a cakewalk, it's a war. And Lord, help us to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to start reading in Ezra chapter 4, but let me say this first. Ezra was sent to what? He was sent to build the temple. That's what he was sent to do, to go rebuild the temple. So go back to Israel. He was sent by the king, go back to Israel, and go back and build the temple. And it didn't take very long that if you're going to do something for God, that somebody's going to come and try to stop you. Someone wants to hinder you. So we're going to look at the attacks of Satan here. We're going to look at the attacks in the adversaries of Antichrist or for Antichrist that came after them. And it's the same. Not much has changed. It's the same today. It's the same today as it always has been. You're always going to be opposed when you want to do something right. When you want to do something for God, you're going to be opposed. Now let's read this. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God, as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Yeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? We'll look at that a little bit. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia, and the reign of Ahasuerus in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes wrote Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes the king in this sort. So he wrote a letter, right? And let's go down to the letter in verse number 12. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that it is a city he builded, and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so shalt thou damage the revenue of the kings. Now because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified to the king, that search be made in the books of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know this, that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. We certify the king that if this city be builded again, and the walls are set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion of this side of the river. So, I'm not going to finish reading that. We'll get to that in a little while. But here's what's going on. Do you notice how these men left out most of the story? They only told the story about this city being a rebellious city. Well, that wasn't hard to find in the records. All they had to do was go back and look and see that there was some trouble there. There were some mighty kings that ruled in Israel. But they left out the rest of the story. The fact that there was a decree written from a king to build Jerusalem again and to build the temple again. They left that out. They didn't put that in. They didn't include that. Why? Because that's how the devil works. He only tells half this story. Doesn't tell the whole story. He always leaves part out. Leaves the part out that what? Indicts him. Right? He always leaves the part out. So if you have an ambassador, right? An ambassador or an adversary for Antichrist, what are they going to do? They are going to leave out part of the story. The part that what? That indicts them. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Sorry, folks, I got to preach what God gives me, and that's just the plain old simple truth of it. I'm going to give you exactly what God gives me, and that's exactly the truth of it. They tell half-truths, which are lies, and they leave out things that indict them. Just like Satan did when he told Jesus, when Jesus was up on the mount, right? What did he say to him? He said, cast thyself down. Right? They'll bear thee up. He didn't bother to tell them the part that indicted him, that he would tread on the what? The serpent, and he would what? To the young lion? Crush his teeth, right? Break his teeth. He left that part out. Why? Because it indicted him. Interesting, isn't it? Some things haven't changed. All right, so we're going to look at three different ways tonight. We're going to look at three different ways in this chapter how the work of God is opposed. All right? It's very tricky. Very tricky. So, point number one, they wanted a union that was not a real union. Look what they did here. Verse number 2, then they came to Zerubbabel, to the chief of the fathers, and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. What did they say? Oh, we want a union with you. We want to join you. Right? What did they do? They acted like they were on their side. You know, when somebody acts like you're on their side, you have to look at the fine print. Because one thing I've learned the hard way, if you don't look at the fine print, you're going to get in trouble. What does Amos 3:3 say? Let's turn there. Turn to Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? What does the Bible say? Have no in Ephesians 5:11. Turn there, Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. They wanted a union with them to corrupt them. That was their goal. Their goal was to come alongside of them and say, we're like you. We want to be like you. We want to serve your God. Why? To corrupt them. That's what they wanted to do. They said, for we seek your God. Is that true? Were they? Well, let's go to the reference of what they were talking about. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. And you're going to see, they said, ever since the days of Esarhaddon, right? That's what they said. So, then there's a record of what they're talking about. So, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse number 32. This is the kind of worship that they wanted. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of the priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from hence. So what happened? It says they feared God. Yeah, they feared God, but they served their own gods. So they're saying, you know, make a union with us. We'll help you build the wall. We'll help you just, but really in sincerity in their hearts, they're not sincere. Folks, you've got to understand there are people in this life that are not sincere. They are not really sold out for Christ. They really don't want to serve the Lord. They want to fear God, but serve their own gods, which is their self. They have their own agendas, their own motives, their own plans. I preached on that. You can go back and listen to that sermon. Fearing God, but serving your own gods. Because that's it. They feared the Lord and served their own gods. So they paid God lip service by sacrificing some things only to be seen of men. So they could be seen of men, and then they did what they wanted to do. So they wanted to join themselves together. That's Antichrist, by the way. All they wanted to do is add other gods into their God. Satan's fine with you serving any God. He's fine with you serving God if you add in other gods. Don't you know? He doesn't have a problem with that. You know, I've spoken on this before, but it's the truth. That's how infiltrators and ambushers work. And churches that never experience that, the reason they don't is because they're not doing anything. They're not rocking the boat. They're not out there shaking the bushes. They're not making Satan mad. And when they're not, he's just fine with lulling them to sleep. Absolutely fine with it. And that's what happened. They wanted to join them with their worship. They had an unreal union based on false worship. What does Zerubbabel say to them? But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said to them, ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus the king of Persia hath commanded. Why did he say that? Because he knew they were false. He knew that they weren't real. He knew that they just were paying lip service to the God of Israel, but they really didn't want to serve God because they didn't want to let go of their other gods. You know, there's a lot of people out there in the world like that today. There's a lot of people in churches like that today. They'll add Jesus to whatever they can, but they do not want to let go of their other gods. But the Bible says that you shall have no other gods before me. That's the command of God. That's what the Lord said. Amen? So they wanted to build a house. So what did they do? They wanted a union. But that didn't work because Zerubbabel, he had wisdom. And he understood that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14, please. Because he practiced separation. Let me tell you something. You want to make people upset, you have a church that practices discipline and separation, and you'll be hated. You can pay lip service all you want to it, but when you actually put it into practice and you practice separation and you practice discipline, you're going to be hated for it. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light, and men do not want to be accountable for what they do wrong. They do not want to be accountable for what they've done wrong. But what does the Bible say? And be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. See, that's a relationship with accountability. With a Father in heaven that doesn't let you get away with wickedness and evil. With a Father in heaven that disciplines you. And when you're wrong, He gets you right. Because He deals with you. Just like you deal with your own children. But only better. Amen? Verse number 3, Zerubbabel said, you have nothing to do with us. He said, you don't have anything to do with us. You're not separated. You don't believe in the God of the Bible, and you're not willing to walk in His ways. You see, when somebody just tells you, we talked about that position and practice on Sunday, right? And yeah, the position is true, but when your practice makes it look like your position is wrong, what is everybody else supposed to believe? You may be justified in the sight of God, but if you're not walking according to His ways, then you're certainly not going to be justified in the sight of man. No one's going to believe you. But in a day and age where all you have to do is say something and people believe it, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, you could say any crazy thing in the world, and if you put it on Facebook or put it on YouTube, people believe it automatically. Like it's the gospel. That's why strong delusion is not a problem. It's going to be big. It's going to be Donald Trump size huge. That's how big it's going to be. That's right. Anyway, okay, so number one, they tried to make a union that was not real. They wanted a false union. They wanted to yoke up with them to destroy them. There are people that will try to yoke up with you and with churches just to destroy them. That's their goal. That's what they do. That's how they operate. And there are others that just fall prey to evil and wickedness and given over to their own depraved heart. Scary thing, isn't it? All right, point number two. How else did they do this? What is another attack of these adversaries for Antichrist and ambassadors of Antichrist? What is another one of their attacks? They weaken the hands of the builders. They weaken the hands. That's their goal. That's their attempt. That's how Satan operates, right? To weaken the hand. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. So they weakened and they troubled them. We're going to find out how they actually did that. But that is it. Did you know that is a goal of the devil? That is a goal of the devil, to weaken and trouble the saints of God. Always has been. Turn to Daniel chapter 7, verse number 25, please. That's right. Wear them down. That's what we're going to talk about. Daniel 7, 25. Daniel 7:25, the Bible says the Antichrist, when he comes, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. What does it say about that spirit? It says he wears out the saints of the Most High. He wears them down. That's Satan's goal, is to wear you down. wants to wear you down so you give up and you quit fighting. Don't you know that? You know that? Joshua, you just started school. He wants to wear you down. He wants to wear you down. So you give up, you quit, you go back, you're done. Wear out. Yep. Yeah, we'll talk about that too. Moms, he wants to wear you down. So you just concentrate on all the hard things of mothering and not the nurturing, the wonderful things, the things that return much value to what you've done. He doesn't want you to concentrate on all the gifts of God and the blessings of children, but all the work that goes into it, right? He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High, discourage them, right? That's the goal of Satan. He wants to discourage the work of God, whatever that work is. Here he wants to discourage a pastor, get him discouraged so he quits. Right? Yep. You give up. Quit fighting. It's not worth it. People hate the truth. Why keep fighting? Why keep going? I'll tell you why. Because you got the Holy Ghost of God inside of you. That's why. And I got all the fight I need from God. I'm going to tell you something right now. You ain't seen nothing yet. The more I get pushed on, the more I push back. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 13, please. What's the Bible warn us of? It says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Right? It says, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get weary. Why? That's the devil's goal. That's what they did here to Ezra and the people. They wanted to build. They're building the temple, right? They're doing the work. They're trying to get everything done. And what do they do? What's the first thing that happens? They sent people to weary them. It says, what does it say? Verse number 4. And the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them. Oh, they wanted to trouble them? Yeah. Why? Because that's how the devil works. He wants to trouble you. Yeah. Stir up the pot. Stir up the problems. Why? Because he wants to wear you out. One thing's over, the next thing starts. Right? I wanted to wear him down. How about Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9? Turn there. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, there's going to come a day in everything that we do for the Lord, that a day of reaping. As a mom, there's going to be a day of reaping for you. So wisely. Because one day you'll reap. Right? One day. All those tears, all those cries. Right? Wearing you out. Making you tired. But one day. One day, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, that's in God's season, that's in God's timing, we shall reap if we faint not. That means we can't have any give up in us. We can't have any quit in us at all. That's what that means. That's exactly what that means. So that means when you're lied about, when you're slandered, when you're falsely accused, when you're attacked, you don't give up. You keep fighting. You want to weaken the hands. That was an attack to weaken the hands of them. So how'd they do that? Well, they troubled them. They kept troubling them, sending trouble their way, troubling their minds and their hearts, trying to discourage them. You know what that means? It's like they're trying to do a work. What did Nehemiah say to them? Man, I'm too busy. I ain't got time to talk to you. Nehemiah, because I'm building the wall. I don't have time to come down to you, loser. You know my answer to people that want to fight with me endlessly and argue with me endlessly? It's real easy. I don't have time to come down to the wall, loser. I'm busy working. And this is God's wall that's being built, so you ain't knocking me off of it. I'll tell you what my dad used to tell people. Go run your jaw along a curb. That's what my dad used to say. It'll be more profitable. What did he do? They troubled them. See, that's what Satan does. He attacks the mind. Remember to wear out the saints of the Most High, to discourage them. Right? That's what he wants to do. He wants to discourage you. Fill your mind up with a bunch of things that don't matter, that aren't even reality. You know the greatest thing that you and I fight? I'm going to give you one word. Let me tell you the greatest thing that you and I fight in our lives, our own imaginations. Your own imagination, that's why you're to cast it down. When a man is troubled, he is usually troubled in his mind. Because his own vain imaginations have not been put down. Amen! They haven't been put down. And when your vain imaginations have not been put down and put under subjection of Christ, it goes everywhere. And you'll say the weirdest, craziest things. And think the weirdest, craziest things. Listen to me. When I was a lost man, and I'm not bragging, I'm just telling the truth. When I was a lost man and did a lot of dope, I never heard the craziest things that I hear now out of people that profess to be saved. I'm not kidding you. I said professed, because I don't believe they are. But I'm just telling you, I've never heard the strangest things I've heard now out of people's mouths when I was high. Lord help us, these people. But you know what? They troubled them, didn't they? They still bothered them, though. What'd they do? It says in verse number 5, and hired counselors against them. Oh. So they hired counselors and people against them, high level in that government, right? They hired counselors against them. To do what? To frustrate them. Right? Frustration. That means to break or to interrupt or defeat or disappoint or to bring to no effect. That's what it means to frustrate somebody. Got to break the work. Got to break them down. To frustrate them. Right? To wear them down. To break them down. That's a tool of the devil. To disappoint them. They hired or bribed these people in that Persian government to hinder the work. They wanted to stop the work of God. That's what they wanted to do. And what happened was Cyrus was busy. King Cyrus was busy fighting wars, and he left his son in charge, who was not a friend of the Jews. He wasn't a friend at all of the Jews. And the work slowed down. It got slowed down to a halt. Imagine how discouraging that was for them. Here they are. They're finally going, 70 years later, right? They're finally going back into their own land. They're going back there to build this temple, to restore the worship, and to do all these things. And what's the first thing that happens? Somebody tries to stop them. That's the first thing that happens is somebody tries to stop them. And not only somebody, a group of somebody, a conspiracy of sorts, a group of people that wanted to stop them. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. They weakened and they frustrated. Now, that's point number two. Point number three, they used accusations to try to destroy them. You know, when they couldn't join them and win, when they couldn't infiltrate them and destroy them, right? They couldn't do that. When they couldn't frustrate them and weaken their hands to destroy them, then they used accusations to try to destroy them. Look at verse number 6. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So, it's kind of like writing on a Facebook wall, kind of. That's kind of what they did. Right? They wrote an accusation. A bunch of them. They falsely accused them to the king. By the way, that is Satan's tool of choice. When fear doesn't work and frustration doesn't work, then accusations have to work, right? They have to go to that. By the way, look at what verse 13 says. They used money. That was one of their key accusations. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are coming to Jerusalem, building the rebellious in the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Be it known unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then they will not pay toll, tribute, or custom, and so thou shalt endanger and damage the king, the revenue of the kings. Oh man, they're going to take your money. They're in it for the money. Filthy. Oh, it's almost too funny. I know. Oh, I'm trying. All right. Turn to Psalm 35:20, please. Psalm 35:20. Well, the Bible says here, for they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. They devise deceitful matters. I've heard that before. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 16. Remember that. God says very clearly what he hates. What does God hate? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. God hates it. Right? A lying tongue. It's an abomination before God, isn't it? I can say this very plainly and very clearly. Liars go to hell. Just do. That's a true little saying. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Right? What does the Bible say about that? God said about that in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse number 18. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. What does it say? And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now, this is God's law, obviously, but understand this one thing. Why did God tell them to do that? Because that's exactly how God deals with things. What you do, God returns on your own head. Yep. And that ought to scare people. Turn to Psalms chapter 5, please. Psalms chapter 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But what happened? They used false accusations. That's what they used against them to try to stop them. They made accusations against them. Did you know that accusations, false accusations, they hold up for a while? People are appalled by them when they hear them. And when people give false accusations like that, they do hold up for a while. Look, it happened to Ezra, right? The whole work stopped. The building of the temple, everything stopped. Why did it stop? Because of false accusations. But it didn't stop forever. Because there's a payday someday. There's a payday someday. You don't get away with being a liar forever. Nope. God deals with liars. God judges that. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 11, please. Jesus said this. He said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Name a prophet that served God that wasn't lied about. Right? How about Isaiah chapter 53? Let's go back there. Isaiah chapter, keeping your Bible, keep you moving here tonight, amen? Isaiah chapter 53. These, we're talking about false accusations because they are very common. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He didn't open his mouth, did he? He was falsely accused. But he didn't open his mouth. How about Matthew chapter 27? Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 27. Verse number 22. Pilate saith unto him, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. What did they do to him? They stripped him down. They crucified him. Why? What did he do wrong? Nothing. They lied about him. They bore false witness against him, right? Turn to Psalm 41. By the way, you know, there's another man that was that Jezebel bore false witness against too, Naboth in his vineyard. Naboth died. But so did Jezebel. And so did Ahab, right where he killed Naboth. He died right where he killed Naboth. At the plain of Jezreel. That's where he died. See, you call that irony? No, I call that God. That's how God does things. Psalms 41, verse number 5 through 9. I'm talking about false accusations. The psalmist said this, "Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. As for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." That's God's promise. How about Joseph? Joseph must have been a real wicked man. Oh, actually, no, he wasn't. What did they use against Joseph? False accusations. Right? How about Proverbs chapter 10? The Bible says this in verse number 18. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." He that hideth hatred with lying lips. What was the point of all these false accusations that they made against them to try to stop the work? It didn't work. May have halted it for a while, but didn't stop it. It never will. Now I want to show you something that is really amazing, that I thought was amazing as I was studying this out. And I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse number 16. Talking about false accusations and talking about those that... Everything else we went over, but I want you to listen to this, because this is very timely. It makes a lot of sense. I'm going to read all the way through this so you understand. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. See, that's a judgment of God right there. If they don't want to get right, they don't want to stand in the old path where it is the good way, and walk ye therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. God says, okay. "And I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. They said, we will not hearken. Therefore..." What did he say to them? He said, "I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Your false, phony worship, it doesn't matter. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on a bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. The Bible says, we have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. Their lives are filled with fear. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all... Now listen. What happened? They forsook the old paths, right? They didn't want them. They didn't want to do right. They tried to destroy the work of God. They tried to use false accusations against it. They tried to stop it. What does he say here in verse number 28? They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. What does that mean? That means their way of life is to slander. That's what they do. He said they're grievous revolters, rebellious, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. You know, they had the decree from the king. These people, they had everything they need to build the wall. God was with them to build the wall. And what happened? Or not build the wall, excuse me, build the temple. That was Nehemiah building the wall, but same time period. But what was going on? They were opposed. This is the method that Satan uses. It's pretty similar. You can find it in other chapters of the Bible. The same pattern is used over. It was used against Paul. You know what happened to Paul? Paul disciplined out some people. They got in trouble. So what did they do? They did him much evil. They went over to another church and they lied about him. Yep. They made things up against him. Folks, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. It's not new. It's the same old pattern over and over again. You just got to see it in the Bible and see it for what it is and remember it. You know, but I'll tell you what their false accusations and things did. It did suspend the work for a while. It appears it took over 20 years for that temple to be built, rebuilt. Why? Because it was hindered so much. Because they tried to stop the work. They never stopped it fully. But they did try to hinder it and hurt it. Satan never wins. In the end, he loses. His kingdom loses. His ambassadors and his adversaries of Antichrist, they lose. They don't win. But lastly, I want to say to you tonight that the one thing that you have to understand as far as the part of those that are going through that is you have to be patient against persecution. You have to be patient. The hardest lesson, and the one I think that God teaches us. through persecution and through accusations and through lies and through attacks of the devil. And through that is patience. It takes patience to wait for God to vindicate you. It takes patience. Right? You have to know that you're following the Lord and you're doing what's right. Turn to Revelation chapter 14, please. I want to show you this. It takes patience. Look at this. And the, verse number 11 says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." But look at what it says here after that. They waited for this. Verse number 12, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." That's the patience of the saints, right? It takes a lot of faith to trust the Lord to fight your battles. It takes a lot of faith. But no one can fight your battles like he can. Because the battle is the Lord's. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 12, 12? Turn there, please. Romans chapter 12, verse number 12. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation." You want God to write it right away. The natural desire of us, we want God to just fix it all and make it right away. But we won't learn anything if he does. So we have to wait, patient in tribulation. Amen. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse number 3. What did Paul say here? "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." There's one thing that I know. There is no man that can take the scars away. There's no man that can take those battle wounds away. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Amen. And then turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We have to be patient. Our part is to be patient. You know, those men had to be patient. You don't think Ezra wanted that temple built right away? I mean, he was sent there to go do the work, and all of a sudden, it's all stopped. The money dries up. They got to stop production. They slow down all the production. Nobody wants to help them anymore, even though they had the decree from the king. That'd be awful frustrating. That was the goal. That was Satan's goal. To frustrate them. "You're never going to get that wall built. Why don't you just stop? Let's just quit and give up. Stop trying so hard. Stop wasting your time. It's just a waste of time anyway. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 4. I want you to see this. We can read to actually verse number 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You see that? He says, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Wait a minute. Are you saying that all those persecutions and those tribulations, it's a manifest token? Yeah. That's what he said. He said it was a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Wait a minute. How? How is that the righteous judgment of God? That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Here, Paul explains it. Here's why it's righteous. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. See what he said? He said, that tribulation you're going through is a token. A token for what? For God to look at and say, I remember what you did to my children. I remember what you did to them. I remember how you slandered the church of God. I remember how you slandered that office of a bishop. I remember how you lied, how you defamed, defrauded. What did he say? He said it's a token of the righteous judgment of God. Why? Because it's going to be set up to be knocked down. That's why. God did it to many kings. Set them up to knock them down. So that we ourselves glory in the churches for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Notice what he said, though. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. See that? It's hard to think that. How in the world can we're being troubled? We're being accused. We're being persecuted. We're being lied about. We're being slandered. All these things are happening. How can we rest with you? Well, that's because Jesus said in the world, you'll have tribulation. In me, you'll have peace. Be of good comfort, right? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Look at this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the promise of God, friend. Satan has his ambassadors. He has his accusations. He has his adversaries that work against the church, the adversaries of the church. But we have the truth. and we rest. Do you see how you can be patient in tribulation when you rest in Christ? See, what does that mean? It means that, what did Paul commend them for? Their faith. He said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. He said, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. What's that? That's how their faith grew. That's right. Their faith grew through the tribulation, through the tribulations that they went through. The same as yours and mine. That's how our faith grows. And that's what we have to do. We have to endure it. Right? Paul didn't say, go fight and defend yourself. Go argue with idiots. What's that? Yeah. Arguing with idiots? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? God didn't say do that, did he? Answer every false accusation that's ever thrown at you. He didn't say that. What did he say? Endure it. Endure it. What did he say? Over and over again, that word endure is talking to the saved, by the way. Not for salvation, not to earn salvation, to endure. But he says because of, right? Endure hardships, hardness as what? Good soldiers. Right? Paul said he knew what they were about. He had it happen to him. John said he knew what it was about too. Right? But you know what? At the end of the day, we have to keep going for the Lord. The attacks are always going to come. Amen. Lies are always going to come. But the truth makes us free. Amen. And we wait. We wait for God, who is well able to fight the battle. But it takes faith, because you've got to believe that the Lord is going to deal with it. That's hard. That's hard, right? It's hard to wait for that. Because you want the victory right away. And it's tough to wait for it. But God honors that patience and that faith, and he builds your faith through that as it's tested through the trials. Amen. And it's used to burn off the dross. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Help us to live it. Help us to believe it and practice it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.